We have another 10 games to go through on a Saturday night, Sunday afternoon where I am. Some good performances. Well, not 10 games, 8 3/4 games. The other two are not done. They're at about 3/4 time-ish. So we'll see. Maybe they'll be done by the time we're done. And if not, then I won't get to do them. This is the pre. This is the post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad Network. Follow them at Old Man Squad on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on X. We're on Twitter. It's the same thing. We're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please rate, like, subscribe. All of that stuff would be great. As I said, 10 games tonight. The other two games, let me check. So Dallas and Phoenix is 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Kings and Lakers are about halfway through the third quarter. So we'll see how time goes. I do have to go and coach today. So we'll just depend how quickly we get through these first few games. Let's have a look at some injury news. First of all, once my tab decides to flick over, nice that it's nice and slow. Now we had returning. We had Jaren Jackson back tonight. We'll talk about that when we get to the Grizzlies game. Jonathan Isaac was out again. No real surprise. They're going to be pretty cautious with him. Bogdan Bogdanovic is out again tomorrow. No one else really significant. RJ Barrett didn't play again, but he's getting closer. He traveled with the team, so I'd say he's only one or two games away. LaMelo played through an injury, so he had a tailbone injury, I think, but played and looked pretty good tonight. But just keep an eye on that. If it does flare up, they're likely to sit him out again, potentially. No one else really, as I go through my injury report here. Barrett, as I said. Yeah, not much else. So fairly good night. Well, Bradley Beal was out. I'm not too worried about that unless we get word that it is serious. But at the moment, no real concerns there. Let's head into the first game. All right. An early one here. Well, early in the US, early for us. It was an 8 a.m. start in Australia, which is very nice on a Sunday morning. Get up and watch a game uninterrupted pretty much because it wraps up as those next lot of games start. The Clippers at Denver. Clippers come away with the victory. It was back and forth, but the Clippers get up 109-104. James Harden is doing James Harden things. Don't really need to talk about him too much. Zubats is looking really good. As we know, no competition for minutes at all. 39 minutes for him. Probably hasn't played that much in his life, to be honest. If you manage to get him in sort of the 80s, 90s, I think he was going in drafts, then he's looking really good. Norm Powell went off in this one, 37 points. He had 22, I think, in the last quarter. He really kept the Clippers in it and then help them to victory at the end there. So if you did get him late, it's looking good. I think he's going to be option. Well, I mean, you could even say he's option one on offense. I know Harden's going to have his hands on the ball a lot, but 16 assists and a lot of them would have been to Norm Powell. So yeah, pretty happy if you picked up Norm Powell. If you've got Kevin Porter, you can drop Kevin Porter over to the Denver side of things. Depth, it's continuing to be a bit of an issue for the Nuggets. Their starters looked good enough. Michael Porter Jr. Hasn't been great, but we're obviously rostering him. Jokic had a career-high 7 3-pointers to go with his 41 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists two steals and a block. So he's doing Jokic things, so he is fine. Christian Brown, another pretty strong game, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks in 34 minutes. And the 34 minutes there, I think, are key. He is pretty locked in as that fifth starter. Julian Strowther only played 16 minutes, Peyton Watson 12, Saric 11. So they don't really appear to be coming for his minutes at the moment. Westbrook, oh man, he looks bad. He had 2 steals and a block, so I guess that's a positive, but 19 minutes and he's shot. I don't know. Like, anyway, don't roster him. He looks really bad. So we, yeah, don't need to say anything about that. Boston get the win over Detroit. It was a lot closer, I think, than they thought it was going to be. 124-118. They were up big early, and Detroit rallied to make this a contest. For the Celtics, they only ran with an 8-man rotation with Sam Hauser out. The starters all played big minutes here, and then we had Luke Kornet, Peyton Pritchard, and Xavier Tillman basically all playing 19 minutes apiece off the bench. Tatum continues his really strong start to the year. Horford, much better in this one. He's going to be up and down, but as long as he's playing, starting and playing 30 minutes, he needs to be rostered. You just have to swallow that that pill when he has a dud like he did in the last game. It will be interesting to see when he doesn't play which direction they go in terms of the starting center, although I don't think it really matters because I think no matter who starts, whether it's Kornet, Tillman, or they've got Mayus Cater there as well, all three could potentially move into that starting lineup. I think they're just going to split the minutes. I don't think there's one who is going to play 30 minutes. I think they'll all just play 22 or something. So anyway, we'll see. But yeah, for the Celtics, we know what to expect. We know what we're getting. For the Pistons, Tobias Harris struggled again, 8 points, the 11 rebounds. The steal, the block. But yeah, he doesn't look bad and he looks engaged, but the production's just not there. So if you've got him, hold him. There's no point dropping him and there's no point trying to trade him at the moment. So it's been rough, but hopefully it gets better. Jalen Duren, 15 points, 9 rebounds, 2 blocks. So everything's really nice there, but he wasn't in the game down the stretch. So no word of an injury that I've seen. And there was actually a play towards the back end there where someone was shooting free throws for Detroit. I can't think who it was. And an offensive rebound would have got them a second opportunity to tie or take the lead, I think. And they didn't have Duren on the court. They had Isaiah Stewart on. So I don't know what the thinking is there when you don't have your best rebounder on the floor when a rebound is such a crucial element. So, yeah, curious. But who am I to question the coach's decision? Cade Cunningham, he looked really good again. And Jaden Ivey, we're continuing to roster him at the moment. No issues at all. Cleveland and Washington, a blowout. We're going to have tons of these against the Wizards this year. You can basically just take this game and move on. I'm not really taking too much from this other than Darius Garland looked better, but what better way to get into form than to play the Wizards? So 23 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. 2 steals on 9 of 11 shooting. Obviously, he isn't going to do that very often, but he looked really good. Jared Allen took advantage of a favorable matchup. Evan Mobley slowed a little, but still did Evan Mobley things. Caris LeVert, only 10 and 4 with 2 blocks off the bench in 19 minutes, but I think he's a hold. I think you can see here, looking at the box score, a few of the guys played 19, 20 minutes. I think when it's competitive, he'll be the standout of that bunch and he'll play closer to 30 and a few of them will drop off. So on to Washington. Jordan Poole didn't have the game that he had against the Celtics, but 14 points, 6 assists, 3 steals will get it done. Alex Saar, much better here, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal. He is a hold. I've had lots of people asking, is he a drop? No, he is a hold. Bilal Coulibaly, if like me, you picked him up or streamed him in for defensive stuff, we didn't get any, but we got 23 points on 9 of 16 shooting with 4 threes. So actually very encouraging to see him flashing some offensive upside because it's not really an element of his game that we've seen too much of. So he should be rostered. Kyshawn George, intriguing. Didn't score, well, didn't score from the field, 2 of 4 from the line, but had 4 blocks, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. So I'm not adding him, but just keep an eye on him because we do know that the Wizards are going to start tanking. Well, they're already tanking, but they're going to start openly tanking and resting players at some point later in the season. But, yeah, he is someone who could have some value. Miami get the win over Charlotte, 114-106. We'll start on the Miami side. Much better performance from their guys. Here, Bam Adebayo had 12 and 11, which looks good. Steal and block looks good. But 6 of 17 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, and missed his only free throw attempt. So percentages can be an issue at times for Bam Adebayo. But, yeah, I mean, we're still happy with the counting stats. Here, Nikola Jovic played 30 minutes. Look, is he a pickup? I've had a few people ask. I think he's borderline. I think if you just need a guy that's starting and playing 30 minutes, he's worth a look. But the upside is pretty capped, as we saw here. So he's fine, but I wouldn't say he's a priority or anything like that. Onto the Charlotte side, LaMelo came into the game, as I said, with a tailbone issue, but played through it. He did take a while to get going. He was pretty slow out of the blocks, but he ended up with 27 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and a steal, 2 of 10 from 3. I think he was 0 of 6 or something from 3. So, yeah, look, his shot started falling a little bit later in the game. Miles Bridges also pretty slow to get going in this one, but he ended with 16 and 9 with a block. Cody Martin, a little bit like Jovic, I suppose. If he's there, if you need a guy that's playing close to 30 minutes, fine. But, yeah, he doesn't excite me at all. Nick Richards continues to look really good, 12 and 12, 3 blocks, a steal, 5 of 8 from the field. So until Mark Williams is back, which we don't really have a timeline for him, Richards is a must roster, as is Trey Mann, only 14 points in this one, but he is clearly their sixth man, played 32 minutes off the bench. Seth Curry, if he's going to start, I mean, if you just need a three-point streamer, I think give him a look, but sustainable value, I really don't see any at all. OKC and Chicago, fairly comfortable win here for the Thunder, 114-95. The Bulls were coming off or on the second night of a back-to-back, so no real surprise that the Thunder took care of business here comfortably. Jalen Williams looked better. No defensive stuff again, but 24-9-8 is nice. Chet Holmgren, he continues to look really good playing at center. And then Shea is Shea. Caruso, a little worrying. The 4 defensive stats, they're basically why you rostered him, but 22 minutes off the bench. It's a bit of a trend. I'd still give it a couple more games, but they're playing Kayson Wallace. They're playing Lou Dort. They're playing these other guys, and Caruso just seems to be somewhere in that bunch rather than an established 30-minute-a-night guy. So he could end up being a streamer, but if you did draft him, I would hold him at the moment. And on to the Bulls. Yeah, not a good night for them. LaVine continues to look pretty good. Coby White cooled off significantly. Josh Giddey, fine. I mean, 26 minutes. It's tough to get a read on the minutes here, given the blowout, but we're holding Giddey. Dosunmu, we can drop, 24 minutes, 3 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal. Numbers are okay, but yeah, I think he's more of just a streamer. Lonzo was back and played 16 minutes, 3 points, 1 assist. There's no value there in standard leagues. Toronto and Minnesota. The Timberwolves got this one. It was close. The Raptors came back late, got it to single digits, but Minnesota pulled away at the end for the Raptors. Grady Dick was obviously the standout here with 25 points. Didn't do much else. He got a steal. He got 2 assists. He's worth holding. He's really just a points and threes guy. And then once Quickly and Barrett are back, we reevaluate. But for now, hold on to him. Agbaji had his best game of the season, 19, 2 and 2 and 2. Lots of twos there. No, I'm not adding him at all. Jakob Poeltl, he's doing enough. He's very up and down, but he's fine. Scotty Barnes, not as good as the night before, but 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists and a steal. Turnovers are a bit of an issue, but yeah, it's fine. We hold Barnes. And no one on the bench interests me there. For the Timberwolves, Gobert, yeah, again, a favourable matchup. He had 15 and 12 with 4 blocks and a steal. Anthony Edwards is fine. Randall looking pretty good. 24 points in this one, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. No defensive stats, but we're used to that for Randall. Conley, DiVincenzo, it does appear it's going to be a minute split and they will just go with whoever is playing the best, I suppose. Conley had 26 minutes, DiVincenzo had 23. So, yeah, it's almost a direct minute split. Both are worth rostering. Conley probably more so if you need assists. DiVincenzo more so if you need points, and both should be a steady source of steals. On to the next game, the Magic and the Grizzlies. Another comfortable win or blowout win here. The Grizzlies get the win 124-111. Paolo's percentages continue to be an issue. 4 of 12 from the field, 7 of 13 from the free throw line. I mean, this is why his rank is typically down in if you look at pure ranks, because of those percentages. Everything else here is okay. But, yeah, he needs to free throw percentage especially, but both would be nice. Franz is looking good. Suggs had easily his best game of the year, played 31 minutes, 21, 0.7 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 assists and a block. Exactly why you drafted Suggs. So good to see that his minutes were back up over 30. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, just a steals streamer for me. Anthony Black, look, I'm not adding him, but it does appear that he is well ahead of Cole Anthony in the rotation, which is interesting. But yeah, as I said, not adding him. Carter, we hold on to him. He had 10 rebounds here, not much else, but he played over 30 minutes again, and as long as that's the case, he should be rostered. On to Memphis. I said earlier, Jaren Jackson returned. Yeah, I mean, we can't take a lot out of this game either because the starters all played minutes in the mid-20s. Jackson looked fine. He didn't get a block. We did talk about this in the preseason. What are his block numbers going to look like with Zach Edey there? So, yeah, very small sample size, so we need to reserve judgment there. Morant was fine. Bane was fine. Smart. Looked a little bit better in this one, but he's still borderline for me between being a rosterable guy and a streaming guy. Zach Edey, 13 minutes. So the fouls, again, it's a pretty common theme at the moment. His minutes, and I did say this yesterday, I think his minutes are going to be limited by his fouls. So I don't see him getting more than 24 minutes a night, best case. Which I think is enough for him to have value. But, it hasn't been a good start to his career. And if we just sort of scroll down there or have a look down to the bottom half of the box score, there's actually more to talk about there. Aldama, who was really good and then he was really bad. He was really good here again. This is what he does. He's done this for the last couple of years. So if you want to roster him, that's fine. But this was really a best-case scenario with the bench guys getting minutes. The same can be said for Jay Huff, who was all over Twitter with that reverse alley-oop from Marcus Smart. He had 18 points on 7 of 9 shooting and a block, 2 rebounds. So not much else in 19 minutes. So lots of people saying, do we add Jay Huff? I don't think so. I think this was just Edey was in foul trouble. It was a blowout. So they just rolled with the bench guys for the whole last quarter basically there. So I'm not adding Huff. Scottie Pippen is interesting. Career high 12 assists to go with 11 points, 2 steals. We know he can do this. He is a very good player. But I don't feel like he's going to be playing enough on a nightly basis to be a someone who you can hold in a 12-team league, but by all means, stream him in and hope for the best with him and not much else. Brandon Clark still doing nothing but disappointing, which makes me sad. Houston and San Antonio. As I just check these other games, and let's just see if we're close to any of them finishing up. Go away. So Dallas and Phoenix, 2 minutes to go in the fourth. Kings and Lakers. Well, we should be able to talk about probably not the entire game, but I did manage to catch the first quarter of both of those games. Houston and San Antonio. Spurs get the win. They were up big. Houston came back late, but Spurs end up winning 109-106 for Houston. Şengün, just a bad night. Just move on, 6 points. He just really couldn't get any good looks at the basket. He ended up with 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. So the steals are good, but move on. He's been really good to start the season, so no need to worry. Jabari Smith, who was much better in their last game, he had 7 and 7, and this was my worry with him, that I sort of voiced some concerns after that first game, and then he came out and had a really strong second game and made me look like an idiot. But yeah, I do have some concerns. I think he's still going to be a 12-team guy all season, but not as good as he was in that last game. Dylan Brooks had 16 points. I'm not adding him. The real talking points are Amen Thompson and Tari Eason. Now, Tari Eason was questionable, and that was just as part of his return to action kind of plan, but he did play. Amen Thompson only played 20 minutes in this one, 1 point, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Is he a drop? It's really close. I'm not dropping him yet, only because I've got him in a lot of leagues and I invested not a super high draft pick in him, but I sort of went out of my way to get him. So I'm going to give him another few games just to see what kind of a role he settles into. Tari Eason, again, the numbers here are okay. 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, a block. We know he can do this. We know he can put up numbers. His per 36 stats are really good. The issue is that he doesn't get close to 36 minutes. So I think both can be held. I think a man's role is probably a little bit more secure, but Eason's per minute upside is better. So both are fine to hold if you have got a bit of leeway. If not, I don't think moving on is going to be something you'll necessarily regret. Although I hope it is, because I want Amen Thompson to be something this season. But, we will see what happens there. Onto the Spurs. Wemby, after everyone panicked in that first game, he was better here. 29 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 threes, 7 of 8 from the line, 10 of 17 from the field. So doing Wemby things. We'd like to see some more rebounds. We'd like some more assists. But with Chris Paul there, his assist numbers are probably not going to take a hit necessarily, but I just don't think they're going to jump up like we thought they might. Chris Paul had 9 assists and he had a steal, but he also had 3 points. So he's basically not going to shoot. He's just going to facilitate. So if you need assists and steals, you hold him. If you don't, you drop him. Harrison Barnes, I'm not interested. Jeremy Sohan, 17 and 12 with 2 steals. He's looked really good. He was someone who grew on me late in drafts, and I managed to snap him up in 2 or 3 leagues. So pretty happy about that. Champagne is starting. 25 minutes in this one, 12 points. It's just enough. Hold him. You don't need to hold him. If you want to, you don't need to. Doesn't really make sense. Keldon Johnson, again, if you need points, I think both of those guys are viable but not must roster. And if we go to – so let me just stop sharing while I go into this screen and close. And we'll just have a look where we're up to with these – with the Dallas game and the Lakers game. Okay, so the Dallas – all right. Yeah, we can probably share that one. Okay, let's have a look at that one. And where are we? As I do adjustments on the fly. Okay, so let's go back to sharing. All right, Dallas and Phoenix. So this one is basically in the books now. But we'll just look at the numbers. As I said, I did watch the start of this game. Luka is being Luka. PJ's really fringy for me. I think he probably should be rostered, but we know that he's going to have nights like this where he goes 2 of 10 and then the next night he'll go 8 of 11 or something like that. So very up and down. Klay Thompson, fine if you need points and threes. Derek Lively, 11 rebounds, no defense. He's still my preference here, 21 minutes, as opposed to Daniel Gafford's 18. So I'm still liking Lively there. And for Phoenix, with no Bradley Beal, Ryan Dunn started and has 13 points. I'm not adding him unless we get word that Beal is going to miss significant time here. We haven't had that indication. And the rest of the guys, I've said this about Phoenix, they're pretty boring when it comes to fantasy. We roster their starting five and we don't bother with the bench. Sacramento game here. Kevin Huerter still starting. So Keon Ellis, who apparently hasn't even played tonight. So there you go. We do not need to hold him at all. Kevin Huerter, 14 points. Do we add him? I don't know. I think he's okay some nights, but Malik Monk is going to play. They'll go with whoever is playing better, him, Huerter or Monk. So, yeah, pick your poison, really go with one of those guys. Sabonis, Fox, DeRozan and Murray all should be rostered. And then for the Lakers, I will just have a look through there. Okay, so Anthony Davis, not as dominant as we have seen, but still continuing his really good start to the season. Rui doing enough. Once again, 14 points, 8 rebounds, points, threes. Fine, have Rui. Austin Reeves is looking really good. D'Angelo Russell better in this one after the stinker that he had yesterday. And LeBron James, who came out and said he wants to play in all 82 games. That would be a bit of a feat if he manages to do that, but he has 27 points, 13 rebounds. He is absolutely fine, and we don't care about anyone on the bench. Let's stop sharing. Let's bring up one question before I have to head off. Who would you rather drop out of Bogdan and Capella in a points league? In a points league, it's probably Capella. Bogdan, well, I will say I'm not concerned, but his injury is not great. We haven't really had much of an update. Capella's playing. I mean, if you have to drop one of them based on what we think they can do, it's probably Capella, because I think Okongwu is playing the starter's minutes despite the fact that Capella is starting. Bogdan will come off the bench, but he should still play 28 to 30 minutes a night and can get you sort of 15, 16 points, 3 or 4 assists, maybe a steal. So I think he has a bit more upside in points leagues. And that will do for today's show. A nice, fairly quick one, despite the fact we had so many games. Sorry, it was a bit earlier. Usually it would be about an hour or two later, but life sometimes dictates when I can do the show. Remember, if you are watching on Twitter, I'll continue to harp on this just as we try to build up an audience on YouTube. Jump over to YouTube and just hit the thumbs up and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd really appreciate that. That will do, though, for today's show. I will let you continue your evening. This has been the Balls Deep Podcast. I am Adam King. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.